This is an interview taken for the Western Sydney Women's Oral History Project, From Farms to Freeways. This interview is with Mrs. Pat.
Right. Well, my name is Patricia Collis, and I live at 20 Governors Drive, Lapstone. I was born on the 1st of April 1922, and I was born at Croydon in Sydney, the suburb of Sydney. I'm an Australian, British Australian, I suppose, married with two children. And I've lived in the area from the time I was 11 for the rest of my life, which is a long time.
So if you could just tell me a bit about your background, Pat. What kind of work did your father do?
Well, my father was a driver of steam locomotives, which he loved. He was really very wrapped up in his job. And we came back to Penrith. He was moved back to Penrith in 1933. And I went to school in Penrith then after living in Croydon. He died quite suddenly in 1940. And when my three brothers were still at school, so that was when I had to give away my idea of being a nurse and go and learn shorthand and typing and get a job. But that was just at the very beginning of the war, of course, and we lived at home in Dunmore Street in Penrith, which was a very nice weatherboard house. And they'd only just moved there from my mother's old home in Penrith. And
where was your mother's old home?
Well, that was in High Street, which is now where Venture stands.
Oh.
And it was a very large stone house, which was standing on an acre of ground in High Street, Penrith. Mm. And you sort of think about the value of it now, and it's really incredible. And they sold that because the rates became so outrageous that they really couldn't afford to keep it. And my father negotiated the sale, and after that he bought his own house in Dunmore Street. It was a big stone house which was built out of the remains of Sir John Jamieson's house from Regentville, which was burned down, I think. I'm not real sure about that. And it was built by one of the local, I think he was a butcher, but I can't remember what year the house was built, except that my mother's family lived in it for about 40 years, and it was sold in 1940. Just give me a moment because I'm trying to think what's next really. Anyhow, throughout the war I worked in Sydney and at a leather goods manufacturing firm, and we used to go to Sydney, you know, and a lot of our spare time was spent going to the theatre in Minerva Theatre out at King's Cross, I think it was, and the Theatre Royal in Castlereagh Street. And we went to, this is my girlfriends and I, because there weren't too many young men around at that time. And then we used to belong to the CWA Younger Set, and we had dances every 2 or 3 weeks, I suppose, because a whole group of soldiers, you know, military unit, moved out over towards the old Speedway, which was on the other side of Penrith Railway Station. And we used to hold these dances, and these chaps used to come, and they were really our only contact with young men of that age group. And we had a fine time, really. Then, where to now?
Well, when you first lived in this area, you were how old?
You know? Oh, well, I was 11 when we came here, and so that was throughout my teenage years.
Mm-hmm. So you went to school in
the
area?
Yes, I went to school in Penrith,
mm-hmm.
and we all went to Penrith Intermediate High School.
How did you get to school? Did you
walked everywhere. We walked from when we lived in High Street. It was almost a mile to the school. So, and quite frequently I would walk home for lunch and back again. And actually the old school in Henry Street, which was where my children eventually went to, my mother used to go.
Mm.
Yes, so it was a really old school, and my husband's parents, they all went there too, of course, and it was no different. It was still the same as it was when my mother was a girl. Anyway, we all went to school. We had a most marvellous headmaster, F.R. Baker, and we still have my husband's class of 1935 still has a reunion every year. In Sydney they do, and every 2 or 3 years we have a reunion here in Penrith, and a whole crowd of people still come because of that one man, really, basically. He really sort of, and he was a tyrant. he really knew every child in the school. He knew everyone by name, and we used to think that he knew exactly what to do till your front gate in the afternoon, you know. But he really was a big influence on our lives at that time. And then, eventually, of course, the war came in 1939, which made a great difference to Penrith, because most of the boys who joined up in 1939 were sent to Egypt. And then in 1940, when the 8th Division left, because they were mostly from Penrith. Most of the boys that left at that particular time went into the 8th Division, and they ended up in Singapore, and they were all eventually taken prisoner, of course. And quite a lot of Penrith boys were lost as POWs. And
were any of your family involved?
Yeah, well, my brother was killed in New Guinea in 1945, but that was later. And my husband's brother was killed in his third operation over France in the Air Force. So that was 1942, I think he was, and 1943 he was killed. So we were greatly affected, our youth was greatly affected by the fact that the war was so dominant in our lives. And anyhow, eventually the war ended, and Roger and I got married straight out, actually only 1 month exactly after the war was, peace was declared, we got married. And we settled in a house that my mother had built when my father died. She subdivided our block of land and built a house there for income purposes. And Roger and I lived in that house. And we were very lucky, because at that time, houses were as scarce as hen's teeth. You just simply couldn't, you couldn't get, anywhere to live. And so we lived there for 16 years, and our children were born while we were living there, of course. When they started, I went to Nepean Hospital, which was the old Nepean Hospital, not the present mm-hmm. Nepean Hospital, which is now the Governor Phillip Special Hospital. And
how old were you, would you have been when you were married?
I was 23. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And our daughter was born a year later, and then we had another daughter 3 years after that, so... Mm. I was 27 when I had her.
And you went... can I just ask you a bit about the house?
Yes.
You lived in. You said it was weatherboard.
Yes, and weatherboard and fibro, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And
how many rooms?
It had two bedrooms and a lounge room and a dining room and a kitchenette. And we always laugh about, we had a dinner party one night, or we had a party actually, and we had all these people there, and they all decided to help me with the washing up, and they were all in this little kitchen, and I was out in the dining room, and I looked and you could see all this crowd in this little tiny kitchen, which was only 6 feet square, 6 feet by, oh well, you know, six odd anyhow. It's very small. Certainly was.
And did you have an inside toilet and bathroom?
Oh no, we had an inside bathroom, mm-hmm. but the toilet was attached to the house. It wasn't detached. It was attached to the house, mm-hmm. but nevertheless you did have to go out the back door.
Did you have the sewer on there?
Oh yes, we had the sewer on, yes. And eventually our apple tree roots grew into the sewer, and they had a lot of trouble with it and Laddie at the time.
So you had a garden?
Oh yes, we had a garden and we had fruit trees, which had been there on the land before my mother built the house. And we had a very nice little house actually. We had, I used to haunt Beard Watson's in those days and copy all their decor, and so it was small, but it was nice. And then we built up here at in Lapstone. But in the meantime, do you want to know about the
yes.
children going to school?
Yes, and can I just ask you first of all about the house? The you had electricity and gas, I presume.
Oh yes, we didn't have gas. No, they don't have gas in Penrith. I think they have gas at St Mary's. And no, we had electricity, mm-hmm. but I had a fuel stove, and I used to. I didn't like lighting the fuel stove too often. It was nice in the winter. But I never used it in the summertime. I had a small Bellings electric stove, which was really quite, they were really quite hard to get electric stoves, and just after the war. And this had a hot plate on top, and you pull down the front, and that was the oven, but you had to grill in the oven. And what else did it have?
You used the fuel stove.
Oh yes, I could use the fuel mm-hmm. stove, yes. I used to use the fuel stove in the winter. And we had a wood fire in the lounge room, which we used too.
You had to collect the fuel, or was that delivered?
No, it was delivered. We had a man that used to come with a horse and cart, and he'd back the horse and cart into the... And always the horse and cart would go over the garden somewhere along the way. No, that was delivered, and then we had milk delivered by the milkman, and he was the quietest milkman. It didn't matter if you were awake and you were listening to every sound, you couldn't hear Mr. Love come in the front gate and leave the milk. And that was put into a can, a billy can. We didn't have bottles in at that particular time. And we had a man who used to come around from Neil's groceries. You know, they had the big store, general store. And he'd come around every Thursday morning and take the order for your groceries, which was fine. You just don't get that now. You've got to go down and, you know, go around with everybody else. And then they'd deliver the groceries on Friday. And we had bread deliveries every day. And what else? Oh, well, we didn't have a car in our early marriage. We only had a car from about 1952. And every Sunday, we would either walk down with the babies and the pram right down to our friends at Jamison Town. That would be a mile and a half, and we would walk. And then we'd walk home, and even in the hot weather, we'd go down there at night in the hot weather and walk back in the evening. Couldn't do that now. Couldn't be too keen about it. And that was, you know, that was quite a long way. And then I walked the children to school every day when they started school, until I could trust the bus driver, and then they used to get on the bus and outside. And then eventually, when they went to primary school, that was just across the road, because the primary school was just across Dunmore Street on the corner there, and so that was no problem.
And did you cook preserves and grow your own fruit or keep chooks or anything like that?
We did, yes. We kept, we had some several chooks actually. They were Rhode Island Reds, and one was a real big rooster, and he was a real savage sort of a beast, and if Roger would walk in there, he'd fly at him. So one day Roger got a broom handle and he clouted this chook, and he never came near him again. Every time Roger went into the chook yard, this rooster would run up the back and stand in the corner. So they're not brainless.
No.
No. Anyhow, so we used to have, we had about 12, I suppose, 12 chooks. And we had a dog and budgerigars. And the girls had a canary. And I had a cat. So we had always had pets. We were great pet people. And what else did you just ask me?
Oh, just about the preserves.
Oh, cooking.
And,
yeah. Well, no, I didn't do that. My aunt was an excellent jam maker, and my mother was an excellent cook. But I used to cook every Saturday morning in the same way that she always did. I cooked every Saturday morning and made cakes and things like that. I did make some jam on one occasion, and somebody came to the front door, and that was the end of the jam because it was all overcooked. And my husband's mother, she made, she was a very good jam maker too.
So what would the daily routine have been in the house in those days, you know, your role?
Well, my role was getting up, I suppose, and getting the breakfast and getting the girls off to school and my husband off to work, and he used to ride his bike to work. That might be interesting. And he'd ride his bike, and he was in the bank for 12 months, in the Bank of New South Wales for 12 months when we were first married, and then he got very fed up with the bank, and he resigned and went to work for his father at the Nepean Times. That was in 1946. He just started there when our daughter was born. And he used to ride to work on his bike every day. And come home for lunch, always. So we used to cut sandwiches for our lunch, and we'd sit out with a radio, and we used to listen to Blue Hills. It just seems so long ago, I can't even believe it was Blue Hills. And so that's what we did. And when his mother died in 1959, then his father used to come home for lunch with him. By that time, of course, we had a car and they used to drive. But we could no longer sit and listen to Blue Hills. Yeah. So we got off that. But listening to radio, of course, was the only thing that we had. We didn't have we didn't have television until, when was that? 1956, was it? Oh, well, we did get a television set when it came out. And my father-in-law had one of the first television sets in Penrith, because he used to like to have the first. And so we decided to, we got a television eventually, well, eventually, yes, pretty soon, I suppose, and which I consider was one of the worst things we ever did, because I don't feel that our children gained anything from the television. I feel that our elder daughter spent a lot of time watching television when she could have been doing other things. So that was one part where I think that the youth started to, their youth deteriorated, I feel, that they didn't have the same outside interests that we had. There was too much sitting around watching television on Saturday afternoon when we used to be out playing tennis. And that's another thing we did. We always played tennis. And I belonged to a group of girls, all my close friends, and we played. We always had tennis courts because I had a tennis court at our home. And then after we got married, my husband helped his best friend build a tennis court at their place. And we had a great group, actually, that we played tennis for many years, and it was a big part of our lives. And actually, those friendships are still our closest friendships mm. that we've still got after, you know, in the 90s, we still mm. We're still close.
Were you all living fairly close together, all your friends?
Well, we all lived in Penrith, and every fortnight were two of my school friends and I used to have afternoon teas at each other's house, and we'd go, I might just, you know, mention that before we had this afternoon tea, we would, each person whoever had, you know, was having it at their home, would spend the whole of the morning cooking for three of us, making cakes and afternoon tea and cleaning the house within an inch of its life. And when I look back, I think we must have been crazy. It just seems incredible that we'd spend so much time preparing for two other friends to turn up on the doorstep for afternoon tea. However, we did that. We enjoyed it. And we're still friends. We still, actually, one of the lasses I've sort of lost touch with the other one. She still lives in Penrith, but she's never joined the things that I belong to. But Heather still does, and we're still close friends, and we work for Torchbearers for Legacy. We both belong to Inner Wheel and Penrith. And so that friendship goes right back to school, because we're in the same class at school. Yes, now where did we get up to?
When you had your children, did you rely on your family or neighbours for looking after the children after school? Or?
Well, I was always able to call on my mother, but she was a very busy person, so I didn't. I was fairly independent. I didn't like to ask her, because she used to play for the... She used to accompany the school choir at school, at the primary school. She played for all the different organisations through Penrith and Emu Plains and St Mary's. Wherever they wanted a pianist, my mother would, you know, play the piano. And I didn't really call on her a lot, no. Roger and I just didn't go anywhere for the first 12 months or so that we had a baby. And when we had the two, another thing was too, that my mother and I used to walk down the street and do our shopping nearly every day, so that we didn't ever have a lot of shopping. As I said, we had the grocery, the grocer calling, but and the milkman, but and the baker. But we used to walk down the street, as I call it, but it was Penrith High Street, every day practically, and push the pram. And
when they were at school, did they go to other neighbours' homes sometimes after school?
Yes, I had a very good friend that lived in Dunmore Street, and they used to, Leslie'd come over to play with Robin, and Robin would go over and play with Leslie. We had an interchange of, and Lynette had a close friend who were Welsh people. They'd come to live in Dunmore Street, and they used to spend time, well, they'd spend time at each other's homes, but that was when they were older, say in their 8 mm-hmm. to 10 of
so you
the
weren't
high school.
Isolated?
Oh no, no way.
No,
our Roger's mother and father lived diagonally across a block away, And we used to go and visit them every weekend. We'd go to my mother's house for dinner or morning tea on a Sunday, or Roger's mother's house for afternoon tea on Sunday, perhaps, or whatever. But we always we'd spent a good deal of time at one or other of those houses. So, because we were a close family, I guess you could say.
And so you had a lot of family support,
really. We did.
Really.
Yes, we always had family support. And in the times when the children were sick, our two mothers would always help, come and visit, and do the washing and the ironing. My mother always did that for me when I was having, you know, problems with sick children, which you do.
Did you have a doctor nearby?
Yes, we had Dr. Falder, and he lived down where he took over from Dr. Higgins, who was attended the birth of my husband and his sister. I don't know about the two older boys, but Dr. Higgins was there then, so that was a long time ago, and Dr. Falder took over from him, and he was always on call, and they came, they would come at any hour of the night. There was no problem about home visits. They came when they were needed.
And you had your children at the Nepean Hospital?
Yes,
you said.
Where it is now, the Governor Phillip Special
mm-hmm.
Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But the old operating theatre and the old those old wards are still there, actually, somewhere in that complex. It's very hard to find because it's a very difficult place to find your way around now. It's so big. Yes.
And when you think back to those days of living in High Street, near what is now High Street, I suppose it's just totally different.
Oh,
so
totally
built up.
Different. Yes, totally
what
different.
What was it like when you were there? Dirt roads and...
No. We had... I can only remember... When I was a little girl, we used to come and visit Ormond, which was my mother's home, when we were living in Croydon. And I can remember lying in bed and hearing the clip-clop of sulky, horse and sulkies going down the street at night, which was rather nice, actually. But they had electricity only in the lower half of the house then, but that was in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember when the electricity was turned on, because Prospect County Council had their 100th anniversary last year.
Yes, I think it was 1890.
It was 1890. And I think Penrith had it before Sydney, was it? It sounds
that's
incredible,
right.
But it did.
It's just shortly
that's
before.
Right.
A couple
yes,
of years,
that's
I think.
Right. And the Lamy had electricity in the lower half of the house. Upstairs they still had oil lamps.
Oh.
But so I do remember that. Mm. It sounds as though I came out of the ark, actually. But the road was sealed, I think in the 1900s. I don't think it was. I think it was sealed in my memory always. High Street, that is. Although they had a lot of problems with flooding in High Street. And that wasn't solved until fairly recent years. It was always, if it was wet, it always flooded down the end of High Street.
But you would have had a sense of space, even though you were living in what now is the middle of town?
Actually, when I used to walk to school, there were vacant allotments in High Street still.
Mm.
And they've all filled up, and then shops that were there. But they all had the awnings going out over the street, over the footpath, and I always laugh because Tats Hotel, they had this veranda going right out, this wide veranda, and one day I was going to school and a man was on his bike and he parked outside Tats Hotel and this maid came out and threw a bucket of water. He was an over the balcony and straight over this fellow, and it was just so funny. But speaking about that, the East Brothers, they had the butcher, one of the butcher shops in Penrith, and they used to drive their cattle up through High Street in those days, and that was only in the 1930s, actually. It just sounds so ridiculous. And then one morning was my birthday, which was the 1st of April, and I used to sleep out on the balcony. My brother and I used to sleep, everybody slept out, and you had a mosquito net, of course, in the summer, but it was the 1st of April, and when I got up, I walked to the end of the balcony because it was nice to look out over the tennis court, and the tennis court and the whole of the area was just covered in cattle. The milkman had left the double gates open, and all the cattle that the East Brothers were driving up High Street had come into our front garden and on the tennis court, and they were walking around on the back veranda, and it was just in the most incredible sight. And I said to my father, "Dad, come and see what's going on out here." I said, "There are cattle, there are cows all over the place." And he said, "Oh yes, I know, it's the 1st of April."
April Fool's Day.
"It's not, you know." I said, "It's true." Anyway, the cows came, they eventually routed the cows out, and they went up the road, but one got a bit stroppy, and it ran up the steps into Tats Hotel Lounge, and deposited a calling card.